Is it really okay for a Christian to vote for Mitt Romney? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
As always, glad to be with you and glad to be with the folks out there listening to us at home or in their cars.
If we haven't turned everybody off by now, because we're taking a critical look, and if you listen to yesterday's program, you kind of know where we're heading to. But if it's your first time tuning in today, we were taking a look at argument from Christian perspectives on why someone should or shouldn't vote for Mitt Romney for president. We discussed his background as a member of the LDS Church, as a Mormon, and some of their theological beliefs and the fact that those theological beliefs are not compatible with biblical Christianity. But also, we're looking at two authors who wrote articles in a online blog called the Aquila Report, aquilareport.com, and one was by James Jordan, who heads up Biblical Horizons Ministries in Florida, basically saying that, well, all the civil ruler is to bring peace and not to be a political messiah. You know, Chuck, in many ways, I do agree with Jim Jordan to that extent.
Right.
But then what he does is that he turns it around and says, well, you perfectionists want to have the Americanist political perfectionism, and that basically we want a messiah. And Chuck, honestly, we know better than that, and I think James Jordan should know better than that, but, you know, he uses in his article that we know what Obama's like, so therefore, really, it gets down to, well, Mitt Romney's not as bad as the other guy. So even though, as believers, Mitt Romney is in a faith that's not compatible with biblical Christianity, and whose record is very questionable, spotty on numerous issues, including abortion and homosexual marriage and other things. Jordan continues to move forward here and saying, I'm going to vote for Romney because, as a biblical Christian, I vote for the person who best provides peace and room for the church to act and the gospel to go forward. He goes, and I don't look to the state for the things only the church can do. At least in that last section, I would agree with that. I don't believe any of us should look to the state things only the church can do. I would suggest that we don't look to the state for many of the things that the church could do better than the state, even if both of them had the ability to do it.
Yeah, now, to be fair to Jordan, I don't think he's arguing and he wants this to be a permanent type situation.
No.
Well, I think he's arguing that, of course, to be pragmatic is a temporary solution to what looks like an intractable problem. Barry, you and I have been involved in third-party politics.
Yes, we have.
And we have been involved with presidential candidates who were true Christians, real men who understood biblical government and had a firm grasp of theology, had a firm grasp of the law, not just the law of the Bible, but American law as well. And what happened to these individuals? They were belittled, oftentimes by some of the same people. And I really don't know where Jordan was in 2004 when we were involved in this kind of stuff. I know where Gary DeMar was. Gary DeMar was in opposition to what we were doing in 2004. And the reason was that basically, yes, he's a great guy and he'll never get elected. And also, we got this bogus argument about how basically he didn't have any experience in government. Well, that was false because the person that we're talking about, Michael Peruca, actually served in an executive branch agency as some department head or something. So that idea was actually incorrect. So we've been getting these kind of arguments that we need to go with these people who have all this experience for several years now. All I got to ask is, how's this working out? Every 4 years, we hear, Barry, that this is the conservatives' year, the political conservatives. And again, as you and I say, we're not conservatives, we're Christian constitutionalists. Every year we said the conservatives are going to do it this year. Our candidate's going to win. The Tea Party is going to make sure that our candidate gets in. This is going to be it. And every year, the Republican mainstream manipulates, cheats, lies, steals, basically runs smear campaigns. And who do we end up with? Well, let me give you the Republican candidates since 1968. Richard Nixon, not a conservative. Gerald Ford, not a conservative. We got Ronald Reagan, who talked a great game, And at the end, he was basically defeated in his attempts to shrink government. Government grew substantially under Ronald Reagan's administration, despite his efforts, because basically he got hung by the people he was forced to bring into his cabinet by the Republican Party. So after Ronald Reagan, who did we have? George H.W. Bush.
That's right.
Then we had Bob Dole, not a conservative, and George H.W. Bush, not a conservative. Then we had George W. Bush, who talked a great game and at the end turned out to be a liberal. Then we got John McCain, the Straight Talk Express, who turned out straight talk was not something he really understood very well. Also not a conservative. And now we've had Mitt Romney rammed down our throats, who is not a conservative. So in all these years, the last conservative, quote unquote, that we got was Barry Goldwater. And later on in his life, we found out that he wasn't quite as conservative as he put on. So much for capturing the Republican Party, Barry. It's really not working out. I want to ask Gary DeMar and Jim Jordan, when's it get to be our turn? And the answer is,
it will never get to be your turn if you're always engaging the contest on their rules.
Exactly. And that's my whole point. They are in control of the party. That's become clear. All you have to do is look what's going on with this Aiken thing to see this is where the boil is coming up to the surface.
Yes, it is.
They want to excise him to put in a party regular because Aiken is a Tea Party guy.
Well, he's worse than that. He's one of those Christian conservatives, Chuck.
Exactly, Barry. And he's basically got the Tea Party support because he's a Christian conservative. And that's the bottom line. These guys, what they want is to continue to dangle the carrot in front of the donkey. Pardon me for using a mixed metaphor. Maybe they want to dangle the carrot in front of the elephant. But they want to continue to do that. And every time we take a bite at that carrot, they just move it just enough out of reach that we can't get it. And every 4 years, they jam another moderate down our throat. We always end up with moderate senatorial candidates. We always end up with moderate game player Republicans in my own district, Pat Teaberry. Basically, this guy will play any game that leadership wants him to play as long as at some point he gets to run for Senate.
But we won't name any names here.
Well, I can cut that out.
No, I'm kidding. No, but Chuck, that's the whole point. And that was the point, part of the point, that the other writer who we were going to talk about today, Jason Cunningham from Georgia, who also wrote on the Aquila Report as a response to James Jordan, his article called Why I Cannot Vote for Mitt Romney. And he basically said that, well, while it's true that many Christians have avoided altogether any discussion over Romney's profession of faith in a false God, yeah, he's right, ladies and gentlemen. Mormonism follows a false God. And if you're Mormon, you're upset about that, hey, drop us a line and let's talk about it. We're more than happy to share with you the true gospel of Jesus Christ as found in the scriptures. But again, he says the objections to Romney as a Mormon are overturned or dismissed via a historical answer that's been used before in past candidates, namely that Obama is much worse. No doubt this statement's true, but the political environment of the moment does not set our standard for leadership. God does. And you know what, Chuck? Right there in summary, is the crux of the matter. Are we going to follow God and follow his standards regardless of the consequences? That's what Christians have to be asking themselves in this and every election cycle that we engage in the process. Are we going to say God's laws and God's rules apply to us in the whole of our lives? Or just everything except in politics? And then, of course, since the rulers just, all we want is peace from the ruler, it's okay to go ahead and vote for somebody who is, well, could be a pagan or who hates Christianity, or who is following a false god. And Cunningham gets down to a good point here in his article, and he basically says here that getting the lesser of two evils elected at the federal level is a short-sighted and pragmatic goal, as if voting for any form of evil is acceptable at election time. Our goal as Christians should be to disciple the next generation on what godly civil government looks like. If that means not voting at the federal level for several elections, then so be it. We don't have to achieve victory in our lifetime. We are called to be faithful. Today's governors and mayors are tomorrow's presidents. We should focus our efforts on raising a generation of Christian statesmen at local levels and hope for political revival in the generations to come. As for the immediate future, as much as I would never wish or pray for persecution in this nation, if the church is strengthened and our dross removed, to God be the glory.
Well, if I didn't know better, I'd say Jason Cunningham had a listening device of some type while you and I were sitting around discussing some of these issues.
Exactly.
That's exactly what we've said over and over and over again. And the fact is, we need to raise up some of these guys, city councilmen, drain commissioners.
Zoning board members, school board members. You know, I mean, yes, get people involved, get good people, godly statesmen involved in county central committees, even though they're going to find that that's oftentimes a cesspool that they're going to struggle in, but does give them experience and an eye-opening about what politics is really about.
Well, I remember word got out once that I was thinking about applying for a Franklin County Central Committee position that was open.
Yes.
And boy, did the phone ring off the hook, people trying to talk me out of it.
Of course. And those people were people who were party regulars or who knew a party regular who begged them to call you to get you out of it.
Well, it turned out the guy that sat in the seat already was actually a pretty good Christian guy. So obviously I didn't want to replace him. He's already got the experience. He's already basically doing what I wanted him to do, and that was fight for decent candidates out of Franklin County. And let me tell you, the Franklin County Republican Party is absolutely as rotten as can be. I mean, it's like an old oak tree that falls over in the wind, and you get inside it, it's full of bugs and rot. That is the Franklin County Party. All you have to do is look at the people that come out of it as candidates for any kind of office. But the fact is, we do need to get people into those jobs, and we need to get them trained up. We also need those central committee positions in order that we can get those people when they have experience on those boards and committees and working in those mundane jobs, that they can move up a notch.
And volunteering for godly statesmen who will uphold biblical principles. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, hear us clearly. We didn't say, well, get out and pull out their Bibles and quote, thus saith the Lord at every council meeting.
That's right.
But we're talking about upholding biblical principles and living biblical qualifications for office. Now, honestly, if a man is not qualified to be an elder in your church, why in heaven's name do we think it's okay for him to be qualified to make the laws that govern us? The dichotomy there is stunning, especially among Christian thinkers. And folks are out there now, and I know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm praying the Lord as we're taping this, that your ears are not closed on this, that you are hearing it for the spirit that it's given in. Not as an attack, not as a chiding,
right,
but as an appeal to understand that God's word is true, it is powerful, it is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it applies even in our choice of the President of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. And if we are going to claim the name of Christ, if we are going to stand up and say we are Christian believers, and then we will give our service and cast our ballot for those who do not and could not meet the basic qualifications for what God says as a legitimate leader, ladies and gentlemen, what's our profession worth? That's what I want to ask. What's our profession worth? Consistency is something we have to strive for. We have to live coram Deo, before the face of God, every day. We are supposed to renew our minds. We are supposed to put on the mind of Christ. We are supposed to, as the Corinthians say, we are to take down strongholds and every vain thing which exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that includes how we think about politics and whether or not we succumb to the we've got to do something mentality. Therefore, it's okay for us to vote for someone who doesn't meet these qualifications because the other guy meets them much less than the first guy does. We got to stop playing those kind of games, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's right. Now, we're going to post these articles. Do us a favor. Read them.
Please.
And then, if you agree or if you disagree, send us a comment. Comment on the article. If your comment's good enough, we'll read it on the air. If it's really, really good, pro or con, we want to hear your opinion. You might even an interview with us.
Chuck, and if they're not comfortable about posting your thoughts up on a blog, email us. Mine's director at principledpolicy.com, and Chuck's is vicechairman@principledpolicy.com. Send us your thoughts. We will engage privately with you if you don't want to do it on the pages of our blog. That's fine. But read and let's discuss it.
Exactly. And with that, we're out of time. Be with us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.